The Bulldogs Extra Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by today at your neighborhood Zaxby's or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast.
From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, Dogs win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
All right, we are about 48 hours or a little less than 50 to be exact as we record this until Georgia, South Carolina. And we will talk today with Josh Kendall about the Gamecocks. Our friend Josh has been covering South Carolina for a good number of years now and used to cover Georgia. And we'll also do the over-under game and make our weekly picks. Ryan, this is a noon kickoff Saturday. I'm fine with that. I get to go home, watch some football or playoff baseball.
Let's not even get into that. Golly.
You're not a fan of playoff baseball?
Well, I was until about 5:07 yesterday when it was already 12-0 or whatever the score was.
Ryan, as a true and tried Atlanta sports fan, what was more painful, watching that 28-3 loss go away in the Super Bowl or the 10-run first inning the Braves had to suffer through in that beatdown by the Cardinals?
Well, let's hope that our listeners are still with us after you just ruined their whole day, night, whenever you're listening to this podcast. I mean, it was two different types of things, right? I mean, you get your hopes up really high for the Falcons, think, oh, well, no way they can blow a 25-point lead with just over a quarter left. Of course, they did it. And then the Braves on, what was it, Wednesday? I mean, never had a chance. You're down 10-0 by the with one out still in the first inning. I think the Super Bowl was more painful because it was right there and you had it in your grasp. But yesterday was a gut punch for about 30 minutes and it didn't feel good there.
Did you like have a pizza that you ordered and like you were through like your second slice when you realized that it was over already?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think the pizza even arrived by the time it was over. It was that fast.
Now, I actually was busy at the time of the Braves game, so I didn't watch it, but I did turn on my phone and looked at the score, and I had to do a double take. I just could not believe that that thing got away so fast.
Did you, like, close out your app and start it over thinking?
No, I didn't do that. But, I mean, and there were no homers in that inning. Is that right?
Let's see. There was a walk, a bunt. And then it was rat-a-tat for, 12 straight batters.
But, I mean...
No. I mean,
hard to score 10 runs without a home.
It was doubled. I think there were two errors in the innings. It was in the inning. It was hard to watch. Hard to watch. But right. Typical of Braves.
Look, Missouri football hasn't reached 10 points in 9 different quarters this season. But I'm talking... Yeah. So, I'm just saying, it's kind of hard to score 10 runs in one inning, but...
Well, the broadcasters, you know, enjoyed throwing out the stat that most runs ever in an inning, right. Most runs tied for most runs in an inning in October, and, you know, just to turn that little wedge in the side.
So, I did see at the end, you know, Brian McCann, I guess, was going to be the last batter, and then they pinch hit him with... I guess it wasn't the last batter, because Thomas
Tyler Flowers.
Tyler Flowers got a base hit, I think. But, I mean, I didn't know that necessarily that McCann was going to retire after the game.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, have we mentioned that his mom used to work at Athens Regional? Or I don't know if she still does. I don't know.
Was it there? I knew he was born in Athens.
Yeah, and his father, I read, was an assistant at Georgia on the baseball staff.
Yep, that is right. And I think his little bio says hometown Athens, or maybe it's born in Athens or something like that.
He lived here. I don't think he was born here.
Okay. Well, I know he played for Duluth High School.
Yeah. Well, at least the Braves fans can now root for, let's see here, Cardinals, no, Nationals?
No, we're not even going there with that.
All right, here's a story.
That was just another thing just to you know, turn it a little more on the side was the fact of the Nationals. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, what was up with the Cards manager? Didn't he, like,
Hey, don't say that on air.
I can't say what he said. Well, actually, you can. It's a podcast. But it's not,
well,
like,
that is
not
true.
Like, not, like, regulated by the FCC. And, yeah. I was going to say, you know, we're hearing some words out of leaders in Washington that probably aren't FCC approved either. But
that's true.
Look, I grew up an Orioles fan because Washington didn't have a baseball team again until 2005 when I was covering DJ Shockley leading Georgia to the SEC title. So, but I've adopted the Nationals, and so, I mean, I guess it's... I know, like, if you grew up in New York, you can't really be a Yankees or Mets fan because you have to pick one or the other. Probably can't be a Jets or Giants fan. But when you don't have a team and you're an Orioles fan and then the Nats come aboard, you can be both, I think. So I'm on both.
Well, right now with the Orioles only winning 50 games. But no, what I'm saying, but I mean, that's New York teams.
Right.
So it's New York Giants, New York Jets. Right. This is Baltimore and Washington. Yeah. So I forgive you on that.
Anyway, speaking of the 2005 SEC championship team, I spoke to DJ Shockley this week about Thomas Browns, who will be here with Brian McClendon and the Gamecocks Saturday. They're both offensive assistant coaches. Getting back to that Washington thing, look, here's what was going on back when I was growing up in Washington. Since there was no team in Washington, every year they used to have this thing at RFK Stadium where the Redskins used to play, the Cracker Jack Old-Timers game. Where they would bring up, you know, like former Hall of, or, you know, guys that were Hall of Famers.
For the old Senators or something?
No,
or?
I'm talking about, like, guys that you've seen and heard of on a national scale. They were probably in their 50s and 60s at that point, and they would just go out there, I mean, soft pitch them, and they bring in the fences, and that was what was the one time a year that you'd get baseball. And I think they'd maybe bring in, like, even major league teams for an exhibition game of sorts. I can't remember, but it's a long way away from that when the Expos moved to Washington, and look, you have the United still, the MLS team to root for since the Falcons don't look playoff bound. You have your Georgia Bulldogs first and foremost, and they look like they're in pretty decent shape for a playoff run. Got to probably only lose one game from here on out. But
yeah, and they got a tough back end of the schedule. But the good news is that, I mean, they really only have to travel one more time, right, down to Jacksonville, and then, I mean, they go to Atlanta.
Auburn.
Oh, yeah, Auburn. I keep forgetting about Auburn.
Little tough road game against Auburn.
Yeah, that is going to be a tough one.
You're looking Georgia Tech. I see what you're doing there, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, Georgia favored by 24.5. And, look, I don't have a great read on this Gamecocks team. They hung around with Alabama for a half. And, you know, that's pretty – I think that's saying something. Can they hang around with Georgia like that? They went to Missouri and got their butts handed to them and then took care of a bad Kentucky team last week. Look, not much coming out of Georgia's camp this week. Solomon Kinley, does he play off that ankle injury? He made the he traveled to Knoxville. I think he's available. Maybe he plays as a backup. I don't know if he starts. You know, I think they're pretty happy with what they're getting out of that position, you know, in his place. Tyson Campbell. Georgia's practice was closed on Wednesday, and we didn't see Kirby. We didn't see Tyson Campbell. Kirby Smart told us that he was out there, you know, running around. But you know, he could be. Generally, that means I would think that he's not going to be going this week.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I'm not putting any bets on that. Jordan Davis coming off an ankle injury. I say, why rush him back when the defense held up pretty well without him?
Absolutely. Big story in the Banner Herald today, in fact, about Michael Barnett and others stepping in his absence, and they have held up well.
All right, don't forget to shoot us a review at the Apple Podcasts or in the Google Podcasts app. Ryan, how many stars would you like?
I mean, 5 stars is always what we shoot for. Feel free to give us that or go with your heart, wherever it leads you. Give us a star, but also subscribe, please. It helps us out and gets this podcast to people who want to listen and hear about the dogs.
Yeah, Ryan also likes it when you you write a little review. Some constructive criticism or some praise coming his way. That's always
good. Absolutely.
All right, this is the Bulldogs Podcast presented by Zaxby's. All right, joining us now is Josh Kendall, the South Carolina beat writer for a good number of years now, formerly covered the Bulldogs and now with The Athletic. Josh, how's it going there in Columbia?
You know, it's going. They're 2-3, maybe on the way to being 2-4, but, you know, it's a pretty day, so we'll be looking.
Yeah, I wasn't asking too much about how the Gamecocks are doing. I was wondering how you were doing, so I'm glad to hear that.
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. All right, speaking of those Gamecocks, though, 2-3, 1-2 in the SEC, wins over Charleston Southern and Kentucky. Where is this Gamecocks team going, do you think? Is it what you thought they were going to be, or is that still to be determined? Still have Florida, Clemson, and Texas A&M to come up after Georgia?
No, they are not what I thought they were going to be. I thought that they had a chance to win 8 games, and I thought that they were that bowl eligibility was pretty certain. Now they're looking at a season where if they play to chalk, if they win the games they're expected to and lose the games they're expected to, they'll be 5-7 and not go to a bowl game. That's not good for Will Muschamp in his fourth season. So they are not what I expected. I expected them to beat North Carolina. They didn't. I thought they'd beat Missouri, and they didn't come close. So they feel pretty good coming off of a decent win against Kentucky, a kind of a limited Kentucky team, but that had been a Kentucky team that beat them 5 years in a row. So they feel okay right now. But this is a team that still, in the long run, I'm not sure what they have.
Of course, they lost Jake Bentley. I'm sure that's a big part of it. You know, what do you think of the quarterback play under Ryan Helinski, and where is that kind of heading with him?
Well, Jake Bentley had reached the point in his career where half or more of the fan base was ready to bench him for Ryan Helinski anyway. So, in a strange way, switching to Ryan Helinski when they were forced to by the injury allowed South Carolina to reset. And Helinski played great against Charleston Southern and played pretty good against Alabama. Was the SEC Freshman of the Week after the Alabama game, even though he lost. So that actually gave South Carolina some hope, and he's played pretty good overall, although he did, coming off of a sore elbow and a couple of missed practice days, play really poorly against a Missouri team that pressured him a lot. So he's still a freshman. He's still figuring it out. But, I mean, frankly, I think this team would be 2-3 right now if Jake Bentley was still the quarterback, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you thought a change at quarterback this season was coming anyway. And I guess now the question would be, with Bentley gone for the season and Helinski having a year as a starter, almost a full year, do you expect Bentley will be in the mix next year? Will he be on the transfer market as a guy that's been experienced and can help out a program that needs someone? Or how does the quarterback situation play out after this year?
I think what Jake Bentley does this year is kind of sits back and watches and assesses where things are. But most likely, I would think that Jake Bentley ends up on the transfer market and goes somewhere where he knows he can start, play a full year, put up some good statistics, and see if he can put some good NFL tape out there. Because, you know, it's for South Carolina, if you like Helinski and he's playing pretty well and he's a sophomore with 3 more years of eligibility, do you want to put him back on the bench for 1 year of Jake Bentley when they've been fairly comparable anyway? You probably just want to ride it out with Helinski, so it might be a cleaner break for everybody if Bentley goes and finds himself, you know, a high group of five team or a power five team that sort of, like Missouri this year, needed a stopgap to fill 1 year of a hole at quarterback and sees what he can do there.
Of course, Brian McClendon, a guy well known around Athens, played receiver here, was on staff here for a few years. I guess he's in his second season as offense coordinator there at South Carolina. What's the impressions of him around South Carolina? Do people think he's doing a good job? And you know, especially with, I guess, the talent he's working with, what are the thoughts on Brian McClendon there?
I like most offensive coordinators, what people think of him is a week-to-week thing. But this is a team that kind of struggled to figure out what it wants to be offensively, and that ultimately falls on the offensive coordinator. Brian came in and they threw the ball a lot last year, and it worked pretty well numbers-wise. This year they came in and they've thrown the ball well at times, they've run the ball well at times, but they haven't done anything very consistently. It looks like coming off the Kentucky game that they've decided they're going to dial back on the pass game some and try to be more of a running team. They're averaging 6.1 yards per run, which is great, but also averaging 6.1 yards per pass attempt, which is really bad. So I think that they're sort of morphing into a run-first team, and we'll see how that goes. It probably won't go great Saturday in Athens.
Josh, with Clemson and Georgia national title contenders, how does Will Muschamp find his lane to get South Carolina higher up in the food chain of college football? I looked, he's got 4 of the top 5 2020 prospects in the state committed. I guess Will Birch is the top one, and he's not committed anywhere yet. But just 3 out of the top 200 kids nationally are South Carolina commitments. You know, where does South Carolina fit in with their two, I guess, rivals? You know, where's their lane?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's very, very tough. I mean, they are stuck geographically and sort of psychically between their two biggest rivals, Georgia and Clemson, who are on basically unprecedented roles, and it makes it very tough on Will Muschamp on a lot of levels. Number one, in-state, you know, the South Carolina team that won 11 games 3 years in a row and won an SEC East title took the best players out of the state of South Carolina during that run. Marcus Lattimore, Alshon Jeffrey, Stephon Gilmore, national-type difference-maker recruits. Well, we don't live in a world anymore where South Carolina's going to get a lot of those guys over Clemson anymore. They're also not going to go into Atlanta and steal players that Georgia really wants, like they did under Steve Spurrier, simply because those two teams are just on recruiting and performance roles. So, South Carolina people who want to compare this to the 5-year sort of glory run that Steve Spurrier had, do themselves and their team a disservice, because they're just that those two teams didn't live in the same reality. It's much tougher to do it right now. And how do you get better? I mean, I think the answer, unfortunately, for South Carolina is just very, very slowly.
Of course, Georgia leads the SEC in rushing. Good stable of backs with Zamir White, I guess, coming on last week, and Brian Herrien, and of course DeAndre Swift leading the charge. But how equipped is South Carolina in handling Georgia's rushing attack this week?
South Carolina's defensive line has been really, really good. Javon Kinlaw is, I think, the second best defensive tackle in the league behind the kid at Auburn. The linebackers have been okay, and secondary has been bad. So I think if Georgia is as equipped as anybody to block that defensive line. So I think that South Carolina will stuff a few runs, but when Georgia gets to the second level, it's going to be a big problem for South Carolina, because I don't think that their linebackers and secondary this is not a good matchup for those guys in this run game. So I expect Georgia to go 1 yard, 1 yard, 3 yard, 4 yard, 5 yard, 25 yards. I expect it to be that kind of running game.
You mentioned Kinlaw. He's number 32 on Todd McShay's latest NFL rankings, which I guess puts him in the first round. Isn't it the 32 teams? Yeah. Jadeveon Clowney was an impact guy on the defensive line, obviously. Georgia's given up one sack this season. What makes Kinlaw so difficult to block?
He's got super long arms. He's just a physical specimen. He's got that sort of fast twitch muscle that you want. And he's got really, really long arms. It's hard for offensive linemen to get their hands on him. He's played with really good technique this year. He's in the best shape of his career, and he's really strong. So the combination of that, but if you just look at him, if you watch him coming off the bus, watch him in warm-ups, he almost, and this is hard for a 310-pounder to do, but he almost looks gangly because his arms and legs are so long, and that gives him a good advantage in the trenches.
Well, when you came on, you didn't seem to have too much hope for South Carolina in this one. But, I mean, how do you see this playing out? I mean, do the Gamecocks have a shot at keeping this a close game into the fourth quarter on Saturday?
I just don't see a path to a win for South Carolina here. This is a tough, tough haul. I mean, they haven't passed the ball consistently. They're a pretty good run team, but Georgia has snuffed out the run. If South Carolina can keep it close, I think that's a victory. No more victories and all that, blah, blah, blah. But I don't see a path where South Carolina can win this game.
All right, Josh, don't know if you have any in particular places you're going to hit up in Athens as you return to your old stomping grounds, but folks would be happy to see you at the Sanford Stadium press box.
I'll be happy.
You got any breakfast planned somewhere?
No, it's my niece's birthday this weekend, so they're in Oconee County, so we'll probably. It'll probably be a low key weekend for me, but that'll be okay.
All right,
I'll look forward to seeing everybody at Sanford Stadium as well.
Safe travels coming over from Columbia, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we're getting closer to the big Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville. Two top 10 teams as of now, so be sure and bookmark GeorgiaFloridaRadio.com. Actually, I think it's www.georgiafloridaradio.com. It's going to be a 24-hour, 7-day-long pop-up radio station celebrating the historic rivalry, and we look forward to going live on October 26th in preparation for the November 2nd showdown. It's Mark Weiser here with Ryan Dennis, and this is the Bulldogs Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. All right, after a week off, over-under is back. Ryan, I'm not sure why we didn't do it last week. I think I might have just slipped my mind.
Yeah.
But it has not this week. So here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. One sack this season for Georgia. One sack given up is this season for Georgia. So the number is a half a sack.
Yeah.
Will that be over or under that? I'm going to say over.
You'd have to say over, right? I mean, the odds,
you don't have to say over.
I'm going to say over.
I mean, they haven't given up except one sack in five games.
I know that. We just talked to Josh Kendall, though, about Kinlaw and how disruptive he can be. I mean, I can see him getting back there at least once and causing some issues. So, yeah, give me one, maybe two.
I'm going over to it. It's not just Kinlaw. They got DJ Wonnum, Aaron Sterling.
Yeah.
This is a group that can get after it. And look, Georgia can protect, and Fromm does a really good job of avoiding those types of situations, but I think they get back there once or twice.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, DeAndre Swift, averaging 92 yards a game. So the number is 100. Will he hit the 100 mark? I say he's going over. He only has one 100-yard game this season, and I think back home in Sanford Stadium between the hedges, DeAndre Swift goes over 100.
Is this rushing only?
I'm talking rushing only.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go under just because of the way that Georgia spreads the wealth around.
I think you're doing that because you wrote a big story for the Saturday Game Day section on Brian Herring.
I did, yes. Please check that out.
You don't want him to, like, you don't want Herring to have, like, 20 yards after you write the story, right?
Yeah, or zero carries. That would make me look bad since he's waited his turn, so to speak. But, no, like I said, just the way they share the wealth. You got three, really, guys that carry the ball a lot with Herring and Zamir White thrown in, too. Of course, it has been kind of odd how they've used Zamir White a couple times. I mean, he doesn't get a carry against Notre Dame, and then he had 7, 8 last week against Tennessee. And of course,
7 for 56.
Yeah, and of course, Brian's kind of been steady the whole year. You know, he's getting his, what, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there every game. So, but, you know, it's so hard to pick this because, you know, Swift could break off an 80-yard run on the first play of the game. You never know how it could go. But what was his 100-yard game? I forget to.
I think it was Vandy.
Was it at Vandy? He had 100 that game?
Yeah.
And I know they kind of held his carries down against Murray State and then again against Arkansas State. And then he had 18, I believe, against Notre Dame. And then the funny thing about.
147 against Vandy.
He had that many yards rushing?
Yep. Wow.
And then against Tennessee the other day, he had 13 in the first half, I think, and then only ended up with 17. I thought that was kind of odd the way they used him in the second half, but maybe they're trying to keep him fresh.
All right, Jake Fromm, no interceptions this season, so the number here is a half, and I'm saying he's under. I'm going to say he's going to keep it going, as Josh alluded to, and I've seen not overly impressed with South Carolina on the back end. So I would say that, look, it's a fluky thing. Someone could just, you know, have a ball bounce off their chest and someone could pick it. So, but I'm gonna say it's not happening this week. I say that's going to be under.
So that could be a third. I know, stupid.
A third of an interception?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Since it was set at a half. Yeah, I mean, he's so smart and reads the defense so well. I think it would have to be a fluky thing or just a misread.
I mean,
on
a guy could make a play.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't think that's going to necessarily happen this week.
But, I mean, a misread on his part, which rarely happens.
Right.
So, gosh, I mean, you know, I'll stick with you. I don't think he's going to throw one.
All right, passing yards for South Carolina. Notre Dame had 275 through, I guess, two games ago, and Tennessee 273 last week. So the number is, putting them right down the middle, 274. And I say under. I think Georgia's defense, like, I don't think Campbell necessarily has come back, but I think here's the thing with Helinski is that I thought he looked really good in the first half against Alabama, but I mean, even against Kentucky, he had a bunch of off-target throws where it just looked like more on his, like, wasn't even necessarily pressures. And then Missouri, he was not good. He had a pick that got returned 100 yards for a touchdown. So I'm saying the number is 274. It will be lower than that. I do think Helinski's got some good upside. I think he's a good talent, but I think Georgia keeps him under.
Yeah, the thing with that, well, you think back to Tennessee's 273 there. Well, I mean, one big play that went for 70-something yards. Another, you know, drive where they drove down the field, and that was it. I mean, so how many yards did they rack up just on that drive? It seemed to be like, or on those two drives, it seemed to be around a 200 almost. I mean,
it says here a lot.
Yeah, that's what it says in the box score, a lot. But, you know, Georgia didn't give up anything after that. It was a couple little fluky things with the busting coverage, I guess, where who was it, DJ Daniel, I think, bid on a play fake, and then Richard LeCount also came up on the double move. So, you know, fix those things, I think. Georgia has a good pass defense, and will hold it way under 274, I believe.
All right, last one. Rushing touchdowns that we'll be giving up this week, Georgia. The number is zero this year for Georgia, so I guess we'll go back to the half.
I was going to say, I'm not going under on that.
We'll go with the half, and I'll say over. I think South Carolina will get the first rushing touchdown of the season against Georgia. Look, I think they got – and Josh alluded also to the how they're kind of have gone more to a run-centric deal the last game against Kentucky. And I like their backs for what they are. I mean, they're not necessarily DeAndre Swift types, you know, but when you look at Rico Dowdle, you look at the Feaster transfer kid from, you know, down the road in on the other side of the state. I think they're going to get, if they're going to get near the end zone, they're going to try to punch it in with those dudes. So, and plus, inevitably, somebody's going to score a rushing touchdown against Georgia.
You would think, yeah. So,
what are you saying? Are you saying over?
I mean, go give me over, I guess, with the odds being a half. Yeah, I'll take the over.
All right. All right. Let's now get into our weekly picks. And you still have time if you're listening to this on Thursday or even Friday. I think it's like 3 o'clock or something.
Yeah, Friday at 3.
You can go do the...
And don't let us influence you, please, if you're listening.
I was actually thinking about that. I can't imagine someone actually like jotting down our picks.
I mean, if you look at where I sit in the standings, don't go the opposite of what I tell you.
I think I'm like third. I'm
you're doing well. You're doing well. I'm about 12 points behind you. That's terrible.
All right, let's see what happens. And go on there, go to the contest. What's the address to find that?
OnlineAthens.com/contest. There's several contests, but find the Wiser Than Wiser contest and have fun.
All right. Syracuse is at NC State. We'll start with that one. And these are just, there's no point spreads with these, so how easy is this? All you got to do is pick the winner.
Hey, a little fact here. You know who's starting for NC State this week?
I do. I knew it before you even tweeted it out yesterday. Bailey Hockman, who... Was he a Georgia commitment at one point?
Yeah, from McEachern, right?
This is like before
this
Eason
was years ago.
This was with like Eason class.
God, it's so far back.
He's
yeah.
bounced around. Where else has he been?
I can't remember. I just know that you know his dad was a high school coach, and I know that he picked Georgia.
All right, we're spending too much time on this game. I'm taking NC State. They're in on Tobacco Road. I don't like Syracuse. Hey, Jim, I mean, not that I don't like Syracuse, but didn't Jim Boeheim make a big deal about not liking to have to go to, like, Greensboro for the ACC tournament? So Syracuse doesn't want to be in the state at all.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I think I picked NC State as well.
All right, Virginia, Miami, what's going on? They lose Mark Richt, and that program's descending faster than, you know, it's not happening. I'm going to take Virginia. They went to Notre Dame and had a decent game, so I'm going to take Virginia to keep Miami's miseries going.
I picked Miami to rally. I think being at home, maybe they'll be able to rally around that. So I went with Miami.
Louisville at Wake Forest. Wake Forest, an unbeaten team, I believe a top 20 team. And I think they're going to – I don't think Wake Forest is actually – are they in the research triangle? Is that considered that – I think it's just NC State, Duke, and North Carolina.
Yeah. I think so.
All right. I'm going to take Wake Forest.
Yeah, give me Wake as well.
All right, Oklahoma, Texas, in Dallas. Isn't this right where the fair is?
Yeah. Every year.
Do you speaking of the fair there, I think there's a Georgia State Fair going on now up near Macon-ish, somewhere in that range.
Oh, in Macon?
Somewhere in that range. Okay. Some kind of fair-ish up there. But are you a guy that like will be okay with basically deep frying anything?
You know, I've never gotten into the deep frying thing, like Oreos or ice. I mean, how do you even deep fry ice cream? I've never understood that.
Well, isn't that like a baked Alaskan type thing?
Oh, maybe so. But no, I mean... I don't really care to fry anything.
What about chicken tenders?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that's good stuff. But some of these odd things they come up with, like Twinkies and stuff, that you, I guess you double fry Twinkies. Is that how that works?
Hey, speaking of Oklahoma, Texas, and actually, was it what game was it that Baker Mayfield did the plant thing? That was Ohio State, right? How about that dude in the NFL that had the celebration going? That was cool.
He did that the other night when they beat... Baker and the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm taking Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma with Heisman frontrunner Jalen Hurts, I believe, gets it done.
All right, Memphis is at Temple, and look, the American – is that American Conference game or Conference USA?
One of the two.
Come on. How do you not know?
Because there's two different ones that sound just alike. I mean, it's hard to keep up with.
All right, it's a big AAC matchup, and the reason I bring that up is because I do that top 25 poll every week, and the number of teams from the American Athletic Conference, which is not a Power 5 conference, that I'm putting in my ballot is pretty impressive. It shows the type of year they're having. You have Tulane, Memphis, SMU, that I think I was one of the, you know, not that many that had Tulane in there, but I've been impressed with them. And you have Temple, Cincinnati, and UCF. So that's a lot of teams that are pretty decent, and this is a good matchup for them. I don't remember if I don't think I stuck Memphis in there. I certainly don't have Temple ranked, but I'm going to take Temple because they beat a good Maryland team. Well, not a really good Maryland team, but...
They also beat Tech. Give me Memphis going into Temple to pull the upset.
Well, the Citadel will beat Tech, too, so...
That's true.
All right, Nebraska's at Minnesota. Minnesota's unbeaten, and I do not have them ranked yet. And I might change my mind if they can beat Nebraska, and I think they are going to do that.
Minnesota has not impressed me at all, but they are still 5-0. And Nebraska hadn't impressed me either, so I'll stick with Minnesota at home.
All right, Maryland's at Purdue, and Maryland's had some blowout wins and some blowout losses. Purdue is a banged-up team, and I think Maryland's going to win that traditional Big Ten showdown.
Yeah, give me Maryland as well.
Iowa State is at West Virginia, and I don't know about West Virginia this season. They've been a little bit up and down. I'm going to take Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State, I mean, I feel like they're good. West Virginia has not been, so give me the Cyclones.
Washington State at Arizona State. Washington State, Mike Leach just fired his one of his coordinators. I guess it was that during an open week? I'm not sure. Maybe it was, but I guess it was last weekend. I'm taking Arizona State at home, and both those Arizona schools are interesting this year.
Yeah, I'll second that. Give me Arizona State being at home against Washington State, who lost somehow to UCLA a couple weeks ago, like 75-70 or something like that.
All right, Mississippi State is at Tennessee. Vols obviously coming off their loss at home to Georgia. Look, there's some kind of talk, a sports talk radio host at Tennessee. Did you see this?
I did not.
He's like sleeping on a roof at a building up there until Tennessee wins a game. So for that reason, I kind of want to pick Mississippi State to win because I just think a stunt like that, a guy should just be stuck out there all winter.
Yeah.
But I think Tennessee's going to win.
Well, then I'm going to stick with him staying on top of that building because I say Mississippi State.
You didn't switch your pick for that reason, did you?
No. That's who I picked when I selected the game yesterday.
All right, Florida is at LSU. Big showdown. Game day is going to be there and all that kind of thing. By the way, I guess we haven't mentioned, but SEC Nation will be here. You going to go out and visit with Tim Tebow?
No, it's way too. I mean, we'll be in the press box already by the time. Will they have that Friday interview with?
I'm not going to that.
No.
Yeah. All right. Look, we know what it's like to go to LSU as a team that's playing good football. Look at Georgia last year and what happened there. I think Florida, especially coming off an emotional win in a huge game last week against Auburn, I think they go to Death Valley and LSU holds fort and we get the Tigers with the win here.
Yeah, I think LSU is just playing some of the best football in the country. In Florida, I mean, they're down to their, you know, Trask, who's played well, but is he going to be healthy? You don't know. Will they have to bring in Emory Jones, I guess, and play quarterback? I think there's a lot of ifs for Florida right now, and LSU is playing so well that I think it's a pretty big no-brainer that it's LSU you'd pick in this one.
All right, South Carolina at Georgia, 24.5, I think, was the number we talked about earlier. Look, Georgia's going to win this game anywhere it's played, whether it's in Columbia, whether it's at a neutral site. But the fact that it's in Athens, where Georgia hadn't lost since 2016. The noon kickoff is kind of something that is a little bit of a variable. I don't know. You know, I'm certainly not going to be. You won't need 500 extra seats behind the student section for this one. But I think Georgia's talent. I think Jake Fromm in the passing game. They might go after the secondary a bit more than you might think. They can run the ball, you know, in most games, and that'll probably be how they end up, you know, killing clock late in the game. But I think they'll have some balance here. They'll try to get some explosive plays. But I do think South Carolina, they have a chance to look what they did with Bama. They have a chance to kind of make it a little bit interesting. But give me Georgia again. I don't know if they cover, but they win.
Bulldogs at home against South Carolina. It just has all the feels of a blowout. So that's why I picked Georgia. And, you know, I have no other reason than that, other than Georgia's just a super talented team compared to South Carolina right now.
All right, Penn State at Iowa. Iowa coming off a 10-3 loss to Michigan. I think this one's more high scoring. Before I give you my score, do you see James Franklin's video on that dude? Somebody wrote a letter to a Penn State player, didn't like, I don't know if it was his tattoos or his like dreadlocks, or just didn't like the way the guy was, he thought was representing the program based on his appearance. And check it out. Go to YouTube or just search up James Franklin. He made a nice speech about kind of how, it was a little bit kind of what you would expect in terms of like that Penn State's a family, but he made a good point where like everyone, no matter what they look like and that kind of thing, that that they represent the school well, and basically that if you're coming at one of my players, I'm going to protect Penn State football is for everybody. So it was a good thing. Ryan, go watch that.
I will. I'll pull it up right after the show here.
All right. And I'm taking Penn State 27-17.
I think I had 28-14 Penn State on that one.
All right, we'll see who comes closer. Go make those picks, and we'll be back next week as Kentucky rolls into town. We'll review the South Carolina game and start to look ahead to the last game before yet another bye week on the 2-bye week season. Thanks for listening to the Bulldogs Extra Podcast from the Athens Banner-Herald. Hey, drop us a line, mweiser at OnlineAthens.com, R. Dennis at OnlineAthens.com. You can find us on Twitter at Mark Weiser. And what are you at?
At RhinoDennis19.
All right. And the Bulldogs Extra podcast is presented each week by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today. Order online at Zaxby's.com/podcast.